Welcome to the official podcast of the Love Times Two Project. Change the culture and the politics will follow.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. So glad you could be with us today. We've got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. The world is moving at a very rapid pace. We all know that. But you know, God's at work. He's always at work in ways that we see, ways that we don't see. Even in a world that just seems like it's so angry and divisive and hurting, he's at work. And isn't that amazing that not only is he at work, but he calls us into that work for his glory and not for ours. Let's always remember God is at work. Now, you know, when we talk about our world today, we always need to understand that the culture, which is really the hearts and the minds of the people, that's the easy way to put it, it's always upstream from what's going on around us. That's because there's a cause and an effect. So when we see so many things that seem to be going south in our world today, we hear a lot about the need to change hearts and minds. I've said it a lot. I'm sure you've said it. Everybody around you has probably said it at one point or the other. The question is, how do we do that? Because changing minds is one thing. Great marketers can change our minds on a lot of things like where to shop, which laundry detergent to use, whether we're going to try the new Mountain Dew flavor that's going to come out, whatever. But the heart is something completely different. All of our hearts are bent away in rebellion against God. And this is the root of everything that's wrong in our world today. It's the root of abortion. It's the root of abuse, lying, selfishness, racism, everything that is contrary to God is rooted in the sin nature of our hearts. That's the status quo of the world's heart. It's baked into us because of our sin nature going all the way back to the fall. And yet, in a media-driven world, it's really become so easy to ignore that part of it and to frame all of our solutions in political terms. But we make such a huge mistake when we do that, because politics is always downstream and the culture is always upstream. In every single instance, the upstream eventually will determine the downstream. So here's truth. If we really hope to change hearts and minds, we have to understand two things. One, any true changing of the heart must be rooted in the good news of Jesus. And second, it must be on display in how we treat others around us. Faith without works is dead. God's word tells us that. Others around us see it. Only through Jesus and the proof of our love and how we treat others will we actually see a positive upstream change. Want to change the world? Well, let's look upstream. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story just to set the stage here. It was the farthest thing from my mind, culture change. It was the farthest thing from my mind years and years ago when I scored a campsite reservation along the Virgin River in Zion National Park. Now, the only thing crossing my mind was what it was going to be like to wade into the cold waters and sit streamside with my wife and kids listening to beautiful sounds, listening to the stream running gently over the rocks throughout the night. Literally, I was thinking this is going to be like heaven on earth. Most surprising was the fact that I landed this campsite deep into the spring reservation season at a time when most sites at Zion and other national parks are completely booked. So I went to this site, I'm thinking waiting list, when this wonderful opportunity fell right in my lap. I booked it without a second thought, booked it as fast as I could. And life was awesome until I decided to have a talk to a park ranger. So as is our normal custom, you probably do the same thing. When you make a first-time visit to a national park, we took in the Zion National Park introductory film at the visitor center, and we actually learned quite a few things that we didn't know about Zion, especially when it comes to flash flooding. The park's film at that time made very strong mention of the possibility that throughout the park, flash flooding can occur, even warning visitors against hiking into the various slot canyons that, quite frankly, Zion is famous for, and urging constant preparedness in any activities involving the Virgin River and the many other streams. So I'm thinking flash floods and the Virgin River, like this is the exact same river that we were set up on, just a dozen or so feet from the water's edge. Hoping to ease my mind, I chatted with the ranger after the program and after the usual, hey, where are you folks from? And do you have any questions? I was really glad that he asked because I did have one huge question. How will we know if we are at immediate risk of a flash flood since we're camping along the Virgin River? In other words, how much warning are we going to have if that occurs? And he must get this question like 1,000 times because he didn't miss a beat. He looked me right in the eye and he said, "You will hear a loud rumbling sound coming from the upstream and the water level will rise dramatically. And if you're fortunate, get this, if you're fortunate, you'll have about 60 seconds before a wall of water will hit, carrying away everything in its path. Well, the Ranger's warning changed everything from that point forward. I promise you, it changed everything at Zion. So now the sound of the stream at night was overshadowed by, you know, lying in the camper, listening for, you know, a low rumbling coming from upstream. You know, wading in the stream became, it seemed like a death-defying feat. Wasn't that bad, but you're certainly nervous after you've seen all this stuff about flash flooding. And when we arrived at the trail that's famous in Zion, I think it's called the Narrows, really narrow slot canyon, we saw these warning signs. We stopped, we took pictures, we turned back around, but nearly everyone else, frankly, just kind of funneled into the slot. We were following the rules and saying, oh, we're not going to go in there because actually you could drown, but most folks just went right into the slot, taking the chance that what happens upstream is going to stay upstream. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way when it comes to rivers, and it doesn't work that way when it comes to talking about the value of human life. It really doesn't. So even today, if you go to the official Zion National Park, the website's going to have these warnings. It will tell you that flash floods are a sudden increase in the depth and speed of waters in the rivers, streams, and washes due to heavy rain from thunderstorms. Floodwaters carry large debris like tree trunks and boulders. Flash floods can occur at any time at Zion National Park and actually throughout the entire desert Southwest. It also says flash floods are unpredictable. That's why they're flash floods. Flash floods can be deadly, and death most often occurs from blunt force trauma. Never would have guessed that. Before this, I would have thought it was drowning. Slot canyons are particularly dangerous. Flash floods can happen with sunny skies overhead. And I really love this one. If you didn't know the answer to this, you know now. You can't outrun a flash flood. So the site continues on. It says, become familiar with the signs of an impending flash flood. The site continues, become familiar with signs of impending flash floods. You're going to see a surge in water. You're going to see a change in water color. You're going to hear a roaring water sound, and there's going to be increased debris in the water, like to a very large degree. The point of all of this, the reason I shared that story is that there are always signs when there's a flash flood that's coming. So upstream always matters when you're camping. It always matters in life. It always matters in culture. And it always matters in how we treat others, actually. If there's one truth that we all have to understand about how our world works, it's this. Who we are as a people is always decided upstream, sometimes slowly, sometimes in a flash flood, but it's decided upstream for better or for worse. Now, where are we bringing all of this? Well, to this point, for all of us that are working to show compassion for pregnant moms and to protect unborn children and to provide healing and hope to those who have experienced abortion, and we don't want to forget that part of the equation, we must understand and embrace the priority, here it comes, of the upstream. It's an absolute must. If we fail to do this, here's what's going to happen. Women will continue to be abused and exploited. Children will continue to die. And every pro-life law, frankly, that has passed will eventually fall to the wayside. Maybe 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, but they will fall. Why? Evil understands the upstream as well, and it is working to keep the upstream in its grip. Yes, the battle's at the state house, and it's in Congress and in the state referendums, but all of these eventually are downstream from the battle to win hearts and minds, or what I refer to as the cultural tipping point. You've heard me talk about that on the podcast. You're going to hear me talk about it more because we have to grasp this. We have to understand the upstream. We have to understand the importance of the cultural tipping point. Culture is always upstream from politics. You show me who captures the hearts and the minds of the people, and I'll show you who defines the value of life. We're going to reach that cultural tipping point long before 2030 in one direction or the other. And that is exactly why this is such a critical time. I know it's so tempting to believe that we can count on personalities or parties or organizations to save the day, but in reality, none of these are able in the long term to withstand the flash flood of a shifting culture. Hey, it's also tempting to think we can solve all the world's problems by reading or writing endless blogs, watching our favorite news outlet for hours at a time. Hey, we have to be smart enough to realize most of the news outlets are geared towards ratings and geared towards making you angry, geared towards fomenting division, because that's what drives the money for the network or the podcast or whatever. Or it's easy to snipe away at everybody on social media. That's the easy stuff. Quite frankly, anybody in the world can do any of that. Getting worked up and angry is easy to do. If that's what you want to do, it's really easy to do that in our world today. But the much harder work is to change hearts and minds. And that's all upstream, because upstream is where it's at. And we're going to talk a lot more about it in the months ahead. Hey, that's it for this episode of the podcast. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Give us a great rating as well. We would really appreciate it. You know, it's no secret, we're facing some giants in this entire discussion sphere. So we really need your financial support as well. Visit lovetimes2.org/give. That's love, the letter X, the number 2.org/give, and make your most generous gift right now. It's really going to make a difference in our work to change hearts and minds to a Jesus-centered view of the value of every life created in the image of God. Hey, until next time, never forget, change the culture and the politics will follow.
Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Love Times 2 Project. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And never forget, change the culture and the politics will follow. Are you looking for the perfect speaker for your next event or conference? Look no further than the new Love Times 2 Speakers Bureau, your go-to source for great pro-life speakers. We have a roster of renowned experts who can inspire, educate, and entertain your audience. Our speakers are ready to unleash their expertise and make your event a resounding success. Scheduling a pro-life speaker has never been easier. Visit lovetimes2.org/speakers and schedule your speaker today.